Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Welcome to this episode of the Dan Steep Podcast. I'm Dan Steep, and the title of this podcast is The Devil's Number One Strategy and How to Defeat It. The devil is a strategist, and we need to be aware of his strategies, and so we know that he's a strategist, he's a schemer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that we are not ignorant of his devices. Let me just read up from verse 10 down through verse 11 just to give some context. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And some of our translations say we're not ignorant of his schemes or his strategies. So the devil very much is a strategist, and it makes sense that he would be because he's limited in power. He's not God. He's a created being. His tool bag actually is limited. I'm not saying that he's powerless. He has power. It's copycat power. It's counterfeit power. But it's legitimate power. But he doesn't have ultimate power. So when you don't have ultimate power, you must be a strategist. I think about that like in my own life when I was younger, athletically, I was limited. I was only blessed with a certain amount of God-given talent and ability, so the athletes that have less ability have to be greater strategists. They have to be more sound in their fundamentals and their technique, and they have to study their opponent and look for weaknesses and do all those things, and that's a strategy, and that's who the devil is. And so I'm going to share with you his number one strategy. And we're going to talk about how to defeat it. And we'll jump out of the gate. The number one strategy that the devil has is ignorance of God's word. Ignorance of God's word. And that's why the devil fights so hard against biblical literacy. You ever wonder why it's so hard to make sure that your Bible reading happens each and every day? There's a reason for it. It's a strategy of the devil. So if we look in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 4, and then we'll also look in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and I'm actually not going to read these passages, but you can look them up on your own. In Genesis 3, this is the original sin. This is when Eve was tempted of the devil, and that ultimately led to the original sin coming into the earth. And it's interesting, and we're going to contrast these two stories and passages from Genesis 3 and Luke 4. In Genesis 3, the devil comes to her, and he says to her, did God really say that? Did God really say that? Did he really say that you couldn't eat of the fruit of this tree? And he brought doubt and uncertainty into Eve's mind because she wasn't clear for some reason. I mean, we don't have a full biblical record of all of the encounters and communication that God had with Adam and Eve. The biblical record is limited, so I don't know. But that brought planted a seed of doubt in her mind. Now, conversely, we have in Luke chapter 4, Jesus going into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the devil comes to tempt him. And here we have Jesus, God in the flesh, and he rebukes the devil three times with what? The word of God. So in one encounter, sin comes into the world because of an ignorance of God's word. And in the second account, we've got Jesus coming to redeem mankind from the curse that came upon us in that original sin in Genesis chapter 3, and he's armed with the word of God, and that's how he defeats the devil. And the scripture says that at the end of that encounter, that the devil just left to return at an opportune time. So clearly, it's not an opportune time for the devil when God's people are armed with God's word. So that's his number one strategy, to keep God's people ignorant of God's word. And if you're ignorant of God's word, then you're toothless to fight against the devil. Now, how do we defeat Satan's strategy? Well, it's very simple. It's the converse of his strategy. Know God's word. In John chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." In other words, if you abide in, operate, obey my word, that's the proof of your discipleship. And then the famous line in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How are you made free? By knowing the truth. The psalmist said, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4, 12 to 13, that the word of God is alive and powerful. Did you get that? It's alive and powerful. That's why the devil doesn't want you to know what God's word says. He goes on to say, "It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow." And look at this, the word of God, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. How about that? The Bible has this expository power to actually expose or reveal to us our innermost thoughts and desires. That's powerful. Powerful stuff. And James tells us that it's not enough to just listen to God's word. You have to do what it says. That's what happens when you know the word of God and you operate in the word of God. It sets you free. James goes on to say, and this is in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. He says, "Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says otherwise." So in other words, if you don't, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So this is the devil's number one strategy, which is ignorance of God's word. Now we can get into his number one deception, which is fear. And this number one deception of fear is predicated upon not knowing God's word or ignorance of God's word. That's why he fights so hard against it. When the child of God is armed with the word of God, there's literally nothing that is impossible for that person. Now, many people battle fear, but it's not natural fear that they're battling. It's a spirit of fear. You heard people say, you know, all you have to fear is fear itself. Well, actually, that's true, because fear is a spirit. But you'll never fear fear if you're armed with the Word of God. You see, everything is not natural and physical. There's a spiritual component to your life. There's a spiritual component to life in general. So it's great news that everything's not natural and physical, because neither are our weapons. Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, as the Apostle Paul calls them, are not natural. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. The Apostle Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, or, in other words, in the natural realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled, or when your, excuse me, obedience is fulfilled. So we have these spiritual weapons that are, they're not of the flesh, they're not natural or physical. They're spiritual. They're not carnal. But they're different weapons. They're designed for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or fear, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you can't fight the devil with a gun. Satan fights by deception. You can't lace up the gloves and fight the devil in a boxing ring. He fights by deception. His powers are limited, and he can't overpower me if I'm in Christ, armed with the Word of God. I'm not demon-possessed. I'm Holy Ghost-possessed. This thing called the Christian faith only works if you go all the way with it. All the way. You can't just dabble in it. Be a Sunday Christian, whatever that might look like for you. You've got to go all the way, saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost, fire baptized with the gifts of the Spirit, the character of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You have to be all in. And if you're not all in, then you're vulnerable. And part of being all in is being all in with the Word of God, being armed with the Word of God, and not being ignorant, therefore, of the strategies of the devil. You see, in Luke chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, Jesus uses this illustration. He says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And that person is worse off than before. That's what happens. If you just dabble in Christianity, you're worse off than before, because now you're lost and you're powerless and you're going to be a victim, and you're not going to know that you're lost and powerless because you're ignorant of God's word. But so you have this illusion that you somehow are safe, but you're actually in more danger than before, because before you had this religious experience, you knew you were lost. Now you have people under the illusion that they're saved, but they're really not fully devoted followers of Christ. And that's a more dangerous place to be in than before. So Jesus says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, right, it goes into the desert searching for rest, but when it finds none, it says, I'll return to the person I came from. So that can happen to you. That's why you must arm yourself with the Word of God. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have to go all in, all the way. That's where the safety is. That's where the protection is. That's where the victory is. If not, that person is worse off than before. And we have authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he turns around in Luke 10, 19 and says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Jesus has been given all authority, and he transferred. He gave us, he imparted authority into you and I over it. This is what the scripture says. This is Luke 10, 19, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us authority over all the power of the devil. So when power is at stake, the one who has greater power wins the fight. Now, authority is a different issue. With authority, the traffic officer has authority to stop a vehicle that's far more powerful than he is. But Jesus said in Matthew 16, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. In other words, I'll back you up from heaven. You could say, in a sense, that Satan has more power than the average person, the average Christian. Only if that Christian is ignorant of God's word and is not aware of what they possess. We possess authority. It doesn't matter how much power Satan has, we have the authority. It's delegated authority. The Bible says this in James chapter 4, verse 7, if you resist the devil, he'll run from you. He'll flee. Why? We have authority. He can't overpower you, so he tries to get you to believe things that are not real, that will then in turn put you in a state of fear, and that's his number one deception. Job was a completely godly, upright man. Here's something that he said. He said, what I always feared has happened to me. Isn't that interesting? Honest, integrity, upright before God. Lived in covenant with God. But he always feared something. He feared that something would come upon him, and it did. Now think about it. That's Job. Now, I live under a superior covenant than what Job lived under. In fact, Job wasn't even Jewish. Job is one of the oldest stories and Bibles in the Bible, or books, excuse me, in the Bible. But even Job, he wasn't even Jewish, but he gave sacrifices to God. He was in covenant with God. He even gave sacrifices to God in case his children sinned. You have to take a stand and just say this to yourself. I refuse to let fear take over my mind. But understand this. You can say that, but the only way that you'll actually be successful in making sure that fear doesn't take over your mind is if your mind is armed with the Word of God. Because that's the devil's number one strategy against you. Ignorance of the Word of God. But God's remedy, how to defeat Satan's strategy, how to defeat his deception, stir up your faith. But this comes back to the ignorance of God's word. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. You have to stir yourself up. How do you stir yourself up in the most holy faith? You must arm yourself with the word. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So the gift of God is in you, the Apostle Paul says, by the laying on of my hands. It's an impartational gift. But he tells Timothy, you've got to do something with that gift. Stir it up. And then he says, a very famous line of scripture, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. How do we combat that spirit of fear? Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see, you can receive an impartation through the laying on of one's hands, but you still have to stir it up. And it can be dangerous to have an impartation that's not stirred. See, Timothy seemed to have a timidity because of his age. He was young. But Paul said to Timothy, preach the word to the whole congregation. Don't shrink back from it. Let no man despise your youth. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy. You have a gift of faith. Stir it up. It's in you. It's been imparted. Stir it. And preach with boldness and authority. Acts 1:8 tells us the Holy Ghost is the spirit of power. 1 John 4:8, 2 Corinthians 3:17, they tell us the Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know that word sound mind means self-discipline or self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23. What is this? This self-discipline is exercised in this context when we dive into and delve into the Word of God. And we make sure that we're not ignorant when we arm ourselves with the Word of God to combat every strategy and scheme and deception of the devil. I don't rebuke the devil anymore. I praise God for what's in me. I've got a spirit of joy, faith, love, peace way down in me. And I'm stirring that up right now in the Spirit. The manifestations of God's presence will never rise higher than your confession. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And once you've heard that word, you've got to speak it and make it your confession. Hallelujah. What do we confess? We confess faith by speaking. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. You can't release faith by thinking. You can't release faith by believing. You can't release faith by meditating. You release faith by speaking and acting. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Make confession. Pray. Make more confession. Pray again. In faith. Pray, confess, pray, confess. It's time to speak back to the thing that's speaking to you. Answer every lie of the devil with this. It is written. And begin to confess God's word over your life and in the ears of the devil. If the devil said it, it's a lie. So act like your father who sits in heaven and just laugh at the devil. You can only do that when you're armed with God's word. The one who is in me is greater. And I challenge you right now to even repeat that as you're listening to this podcast. The one who is in me is greater. Hallelujah. Is he in you? Only if you're born again. Only if you're walking in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel message is very simple. God is holy by nature. It's who he is. He couldn't change it if he wanted to. And we're sinful. That condition is in our nature. It's a condition that we were born into. And God took the initiative to remedy our condition. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to bridge the gap between the holiness of God and the unholiness of man. And all you have to do in response to that, this is how you can make sure this very day that God is living on the inside of you. Three words: recognize, repent, and receive. Recognize. We have to be willing to acknowledge our sinfulness. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I recognize my sin is what's killing me, and it's not just killing me, it's killing those around me. And the only way to peace is through faith in Jesus Christ. Once I'm willing to recognize or acknowledge my sinfulness, then number two, I can repent. The word repent simply means to change. Change your mind, change your direction, change your lifestyle. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, and you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. So we recognize our sin. We have to be willing to repent and turn away from that sin. And all that's left to do is simply receive. Receive salvation. Commit your heart to him by faith. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'd like to offer a simple prayer of salvation at the close of this episode. And if you repeat this prayer out loud after me from a place of sincerity in your heart, you can know this very day, this very moment, that you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven, and Jesus is living on the inside of you. And along with Jesus is his resurrection power that you have over every scheme and strategy of the devil. Would you pray this prayer with me? Let's just pray it right now. Say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. I turn from my sin. And I humbly ask you to please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you prayed that prayer together with me, you called upon the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's word, and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you that you're saved. You're born again. Jesus is living on the inside of you. And you're on your way to heaven. And if you prayed that prayer with me, please go to our website at revivalnow.com. Just go to revivalnow.com. And you'll find a red, big red button on the front page of our website that says, I just got saved. Click that button, and it will give you the opportunity to view some video resources that I've prepared for you to help you get started in your Christian life. And also, we want to send some resources to you to help you get started in that Christian life. So if you'll fill out your contact information, we're going to send some resources out that are going to help you. And we'll also pray for you by name. But that's the extent of the action that'll take place. You don't have to worry about your information showing up anyplace else. You won't receive a phone call, email, text, anything like that. We're just going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life, and we're going to pray for you. So go to revivalnow.com, click I Just Got Saved, and follow the prompts from there. And hey, while you're there, that's kind of the flagship of Revival Now Ministries. While you're there, you can subscribe to our e-newsletter. It's a great way to follow us and keep up with everything that's going on. But explore the website. Find all of our social media platforms and everything that's going on in the ministry of Revival Now. I think it'll be a blessing to you. So thank you, and God bless you. Thanks for joining me for this episode. As always, I appreciate it if you'd take a moment to share the podcast with your friends and help us spread the news of the gospel and get some good biblical teaching out to the world. So until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.